Hello and welcome to Vikings Territory Breakdown Podcast. I'm Joe Oberle from VikingsTerritory.com and PurplePTSD.com, and joined each week by Mark Craig, Vikings writer and NFL insider for Star Tribune and StarTribune.com. You know these old faces well, so the faces are the same, but the game always changes, right, Mark? Here we are on OTA week. In Minnesota, I guess. I guess it's start of OTAs. And any opening thoughts, brother?
Well, to me, the players get younger. I don't get older. The players get younger. So, yeah, when they're being born in the 2000s now, it's blows you away. Yeah, it's hey Joe. It's May what 24th. I mean, of course, the NFL is on everyone's mind, right?
Well, not mine. It's Bob Dylan's birthday. He's 82 today. He's another guy like us, you know, one of those old guys. But
it's 82. Wow. Yeah. And Jim Brown, the passing of Jim Brown this week, that was broke my heart.
That's tough. That was a tough deal. I always liked Jim Brown. I never saw him live, of course, but I, you know, grew up. He was in the was he in the league? Maybe when I was watching football, I can't remember. But you always had an appreciation for him. Nobody played like him. He was just something else.
65, it was his last year. So I was 6 months old when he retired at 28, 29. Wow. It was over in London filming the Dirty Dozen, and Art Modell gave him an ultimatum, and Jim said, see ya.
Wow. A guy that goes out on his own terms, I like it. Yeah, I was probably 7 years old at the time, but we won't talk about that. Speaking of Cleveland, Vikings had another transaction with Cleveland. Cleveland's becoming Minnesota South. First, they take our offensive coordinator, and then they take they got somebody. They've got a few other players of ours down there. But they Vikings traded Za'Darius Smith to Cleveland for basically an improved – you know, salary cap space and improvement in two of their picks. A sixth will go to a fifth and a seventh to a sixth or something in successive years. So what'd you think of that, Mark? Is that good news for the old Cleveland Browns?
I think you had it right the first time. It was a salary crap move. so they, you know, they basically when they brought Za'Darius in, I don't think it, I mean, they was a 3-year deal, but I think the way that they were shooting for it was a 1-year, you know, then they'd probably get out from under it. And as it turned out, he wanted, you know, Za'Darius being, you know, turning 31 in September, Za'Darius, he sees those 10 sacks as his chance to, you know, get some more money out of the league. You know, maybe this is the last chance to get a deal. So he wasn't going to come here. He goes to Cleveland. He ends up, they rework the deal. He gets like another, I think he's supposed to make like 9.4 here. He ends up getting another, about $2 million, $2.5 million. The Vikings end up paying some of that. The Vikings get, the 2024 and 25 fifth rounders. Cleveland gets a 2025 sixth and seventh rounder. This was, you know, the best of a bad situation after his, you know, to me, if you're asking me about how, as a Clevelander, how do I feel? I feel like they've now overpaid for two former Vikings, Dalvin Tomlinson, who I think was, you know, is a good player. And I think he was all set to come back here. And I think Cleveland surprised him by giving him a little bit more money than he's probably worth. So you have Dalvin there. Za'Darius, to me, is a guy, he's going to be 31 in September. He had 10 sacks last year, which I think Cleveland fans are excited about. But to me,
but in the first half of the year.
8.5 sacks in the first 7 games. Yeah. 10 games where he's dragging along a knee. You know, it was already kind of an injury risk. So to me, he's an older guy, he's an injury risk guy. I hope he does well with Cleveland because, you know, like here with Daniil Hunter, he has Myles Garrett in Cleveland. Might even be a better situation in Cleveland because Myles Garrett is comfortable in that defense, whereas Daniil Hunter here was not comfortable until maybe the very end in this defense. So I hope it works out for him in Cleveland. As far as the Vikings are concerned, you know, Davenport, you know, if he can turn it around and act like a first round draft pick like he was for the Saints, it's not a big loss.
You know, yeah, they must have sent film to Cleveland of just those first seven games, because he didn't put much on the highlight reel after that. He was
dead. Yeah, I mean, he was clearly a different player. I think he still finished, you know, fourth with pressures and that. Yeah. But, you know, sometimes these pressures are, you know, I question. I mean, he had a decent season. It would have been nice to see him come back. And like, you're dealing with personalities. Like Harrison Smith, they got a pay cut out of Harrison Smith. He comes back, he's going to help them. Za'Darius Smith wasn't going to give him that. And wanted more money. He wanted something else. So that just was unacceptable. So they did the best they could to move on. They got Davenport to replace him. And then they worked and worked and worked and got this trade. And so it's the best they could do.
Neither one of us are Sally Crap guys, but how does that work where Za'Darius gets a new contract in Cleveland? You said, maybe I misunderstood, you said the Vikings have to pay some of that.
Well, they negotiated it. You know, the Browns, I think what happened is, you know, the Vikings, they get this cap relief. You know, they save whatever, $7 million or whatever it was on Za'Darius for cap relief, which is what they wanted, which is what they need.
Yeah.
They needed that to sign their first round draft pick. They need that for the extensions that are coming up for Jefferson, extension that's likely coming up for Daniil
Hawkinson.
So in Hawkinson down the road. And also when you get to the regular season, you know, it's not the top 51. It's the top 53 that count, and all the guys on injured reserve. So you got to have the room for that. So yeah, it's a move that had to be made.
Speaking of that, you know, just sticking in this vein a little bit, we still got Dalvin Cook hanging out there. He's on the team as of right now. He's got that bloated contract, so says the Vikings. And you mentioned players they still got to pay. We got Daniil Hunter. He took some stuff, his purple stuff, off of his Instagram account, you know, whatever that means in this day. Didn't show up for OTAs, although they are optional. Do the Vikings have to make a decision on Dalvin Cook by June 1st or something like that in order to either save money or just get rid of it? You know, I mean, not take as big of a hit. Is that coming, or are they trying to somehow figure out how to keep him as well?
Well, I think they cut it. If you do it after June 1st, I think that's the savings.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, what they're trying to get him to take a pay cut. And in Dalvin's mind, I'm sure it's, hey, you know, he knows where his pay cut's going to go. His pay cut's going to go into the pocket of Daniil or go into the pocket of Jefferson. And, you know, I mean, and rightfully so, he sees himself as a great player. He sees himself as hey, you gave me this money. You know, this is even as great as Dalvin is, as good as Dalvin is, this is why I just, you avoid being in a situation where you're paying a running back that much money, A, for your salary cap. And then when you inevitably have to get rid of him before the end of his contract, 99% of the time, then you have dead money. So even if they move on from him, and I can't see him taking a pay cut, so they're not going to be able to trade him. So they'll end up with dead money on him, $8 million or whatever it is. So, you know, you look around the league and you look at what the Pacheco, the Chiefs go out and they get a Pacheco in the seventh round, like 10 spots from the last pick of the draft. He's a contributor as a rookie on a Super Bowl champion, Miles Sanders in Philadelphia. You know, doesn't cost him much. You know, and the fact that they also have Madison, who can start for him. You know, so between age, you know, he's gonna be 29. Cook, his salary cap number, and the fact that, you know, one of this team's biggest problems offensively last year was the inability to get a first down on third and short.
Mm-hmm.
And Dalvin doesn't move the pile, so. Yeah, they're, I mean, they need some money, and he's the guy that they've set themselves up to be without. So yeah, I would imagine he's going to get cut, unless he gets to the end and they realize, hey, if I take, you know, at some point something about the nose on your face, you know, spite your spite. I don't know, whatever the cliche is.
Face,
yeah. So it's like, I showed them, but then it's like, hey, well, now I'm not going to get anything. So maybe at the last 11th hour, they do something. But to me, it's like, he's a logical one. He's the guy that they have, the move that they have in their pocket that they're going to move if they need to.
And he must see that coming. And his agent must see that coming. And, you know, I guess they figure they'll get on with somebody else. Maybe they already know that there has been trade talks between the Vikings and other teams, that, and the other team knows what's going to happen, that they're going to have to cut them. So they're not going to make a trade. So they're probably just content to do this and not take a pay cut, but it's too bad. This was Dalvin was a Spielman contract, wasn't it? He's the one that signed him to this.
Yeah.
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 So yeah, that they'll probably move on, as sad as it makes me say. Well, what about Daniil Hunter? He didn't show up this week, and as you sent me, his contract was outdated a long time ago, as soon as it was written, you know. So by saying so, you feel certainly he's justified in crabbing about his pay. But what do you think's going to happen there? Do you think he holds out? Do you think you know, what do you think is going to happen? I guess that's the best way to ask it.
Well, I mean, it's a really tricky situation because, you know, they need him. I mean, he's not a guy like Dalvin, you know, like, I mean, as good as Dalvin is, you get rid of Dalvin, you got something there, and you don't, but, you know, Daniil, you know, you just can't like say, okay, well, DJ Warnham's going to line up, or Pat Hill's going to, or Pat Jones is going to line up and blah, blah, blah. You know, this is a special player. Even, you know, I think that, you know, he might even be a more special player in a defense that isn't so soft schematically. And, you know, so they need this guy. But in saying that, how much do you give him? Because, you know, he did prove a little, you know, last year by being able to play, you know, make that year. But, you know, there's still some, you know, he's going to be 29. There have been injuries. So it's like, I feel like what will happen is he'll get an extension. He'll get some money. But yeah, this has been a contract that he has not liked since heading into the 2018 season. It's when he signed that 5-year, $72 million deal. And I've made reference to this a million times, but I was talking to Anthony Barr for a separate story, and Anthony, and it had just happened. And I'm sitting down with Anthony, and Anthony was just like, said, you know, and also Anthony was kind of lining himself up for his deal that he ended up getting. But he was just like, you know, they robbed, you know, Daniil Hunter. And because, you know, his feeling was Daniil Hunter was on the way up, and he was going to outdistance that contract, which he did immediately, because then he had back-to-back 14 and a half sack seasons. So he's been they've been chasing that contract for a while now. Last year, they, you know, pacified him by taking money from this year and giving it to him last year as a guarantee. So, you know, to me, that there's going to be an extension coming.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I was talking to Jeff, a lot of what I'm saying, I'm kind of parroting what our buddy Jeff Diamond he's kind of my cap guy that Jeff, I don't understand all this stuff.
Yeah.
Sometimes. And, you know, see, you know, Daniil's cap number is like at 13 now. So I think they can stay at that number, because then you bring down his base, and then you give him a bonus, which you can spread over some years, to where it the cap doesn't have to go up. Now, Jefferson, obviously, his cap's going to go up, you know, from what I would imagine he gets his contract probably before this year. So there's two big deals they're looking at that are on the front burner. So, you know, getting Dalvin Cook situated is going to free up the money to kind of do that, and then also be able to handle the regular season salary cap numbers.
Question for you. The Vikings had some other player moves this week. They waived outside linebacker Kenny WikiLeaks, and they signed rookie wide receiver Lucky Jackson. Willicky was going to be, he was coming into his fourth season, so I suppose his rookie contract is going to expire. So they were saying, take this money that's a little bit more money you'd have to pay him and avoid that and get a younger guy. Is this a salary cap move or is this just a position move? Because I thought they needed more linebackers and they were pretty set at receiver, but you know, what do I know?
Well, I mean, this is just a, I mean, he was, you know, he's only $870,000. He wasn't even above the 51 that's counted on the salary cap right now. This is a move that, you know, where, you know, this receiver that coming out of the XFL, they like him and they want to put him on the roster, and they, you know, made a corresponding move was, hey, who do we get rid of? Well, we don't need him. So, you know, Willekes is a guy that could, I would admit, you cut him and he could end up back on the practice squad. He's not in high demand, Joe. So yeah, he would be a guy that could come back, practice squad, whatever. But this Jackson is someone clearly that they've, you know, must have liked looking at the XFL. He played for the DC Defenders, had five touchdowns, used to play in the CFL. I think he's 25 years old, but he had a big year at Western Kentucky, as I'm sure you know, in 2019.
Oh, yeah.
Had like 94 catches for 1,100 yards. So,
wow.
You were probably breaking him down for the your mock draft back then.
Yeah, I got that written where I forgot to include it. Well, I got a couple more for you to break down, Mark. We got the Vikings also signed fullback Zach Ogile, O-J-I-L-E, and offensive lineman Sam Schluter. Zach come is well, they both got Minnesota ties. Zach comes from well, they both played for the UMD. One of them from Spring Lake Park High School, that from Blaine was Ogile, and Schluter attended Mayor Lutheran High School. So, what about those dudes? Big name players for him, or practice or camp?
Well, the fullback that the Zach guy, and I think it's O. You got to remember this when they're introducing the Super Bowl roster here. Ogile.
Looks like J.
I'm going with the Vikings set. He's from Blaine, played at Minnesota Duluth. He was a tight end in college, and that explains, you know, the rookie camp that I went and watched. Two things stood out, which I'm sure we'll talk about Addison down the road, but some stuff about Addison, but also this number 31. It looked like 1962 or 67 and Bill Brown going and catching a ball or something. But yeah, it was just this fullback that they kept throwing the ball to. So he was a tight end in college. So I suppose he impressed him enough in those 3 days with his catching ability. They aren't going to keep two fullbacks. So he's a camp body, maybe a practice squad guy. Because your buddy C.J. Ham will start getting more expensive than a fullback should be. So you got to keep churning those fullbacks on the roster, Joe.
Apparently UMD Bulldogs fullbacks, they have to keep churning.
So. Well, the, yeah. So, and the other guy is, I believe from the University of Minnesota, not Duluth, Twin Cities, Joe. Oops. I believe. So, he was on the, it was a 49ers signed him as an undrafted guy last year, some time on the Jets practice squad. So Aaron Rodgers must've cut that guy off the practice squad. And
he is, he's here. Wants him in New York. No, I'm kidding. So,
but there,
go ahead.
Yeah, there's another guy who was interested. I ended up talking to him, his parents, his college people, this Jackie Chen. He's a, his parents came over from Beijing in 94. Yeah, it was Jackie Chen. So except he's a giant man from Pace University in New York City. So a real fun guy to talk to. It's I don't know. I think that's coming Sunday's paper. But yeah, he looked, you know, he didn't have the body, you know, baby fat that you would expect from, especially an undrafted lineman. So yeah, but kind of cool to see if he's only been playing since his sophomore year. He had to trick his mom into playing football by handing her a permission slip, and she was dead set against football, American football, because of concussions and all this. And he worked around it by saying, "Mom, here, there's a field trip that we have to go on. Sign this." So she signed it, and then he didn't show up for 2 weeks after school, and she wanted to know where he was. And he said, "I'm playing football." So and he ultimately won over his mom, although she's not happy that he made. I don't think she's happy that he made the NFL, because she said last year was supposed to be his last year, and I went to every game, and now here he is still playing. So
uh-oh, wow.
So it's always cool when you see the rookie, the under the radar guys. You kind of hope that at least this guy would maybe make the practice squad.
Right. Well, speaking of under the radar, that's what we are. Well, we're trying not to be, because, you know, get this pumped out there. But we're going to take a break right now, go under the radar, and reconnoiter. And we'll be back to talk about what's going on out at TCO Performance Center this week and the headlines coming out there. So come on back to Vikings Territory Breakdown Podcast. All right, folks, welcome back to Vikings Territory Breakdown Podcast with Mark Craig from the Star Tribune. Mark, OTA's off-season training. What is it? What does the OTA stand for?
We can't tell you that, Joe.
Okay, it's official. We won't talk.
Organized team activities.
Organized team activities.
Yes.
Over the axis. Anyway, we could have fun like that. They're going on this week. You know, some people are there, some people are not. We talked about Danielle Hunter, who didn't show up, and we don't know why in our last segment. But anybody else not there? I guess Jefferson wasn't there. Dalvin not there as well?
Dalvin's not there. Jefferson's not there. It's interesting, you know, because it's kind of the he knows where he's heading financially. He knows where he's so probably the fewer things that he does like this before he gets to me, it's kind of a sign that he's probably going to get his extension here. I don't know, you know, that may be something that they a grand thing that they do to kick off, because I know that when Spielman would sign these guys to contracts that ultimately became bloated and they had to cut them, it would usually happen like right at the beginning of training camp. You go to Mankato and here comes, you know, here comes Xavier, here comes Everson. You know, it's like, you know, the parade of guys getting the big front-loaded deals. So, but Jefferson, he'll be the highest paid receiver. However they work it out, I'm sure he'll be the – and now, now is the time for him to strike. And, you know, I wouldn't imagine that he would head, even though he's on that fifth year, they picked up the fifth year option at like 19.7. I mean – he's not, I'll be stunned. He's not going to play on that, you know. So, I would imagine he's like just kind of chilling, and he'll be here for the rookie camp, for the mandatory mini camp.
Yeah.
This stuff, probably below his pay grade.
Well, probably so. And, you know, I suppose you don't need to get him out there and get him risk of injury, but I feel he's the kind of guy that wants to get out there and do stuff, you know, because he seems like a real personal guy amongst his teammates and just kind of likes football, but probably the right move to do. You know, so I thought it was interesting this week. I saw somebody complimenting Kirk how, you know, he's been showing up and he's on the last year of his contract and he knows the deal and it doesn't bother him. And he's kind of on a prove it or lose it deal. I mean, if he does something extraordinary, they won't want to let him go. I don't know. I guess it's worthy of a tip of the hat to Kirk for not being a whiny baby about it, you know, and, you know, usually a guy in his position, one of the probably top five quarterbacks in the NFC right now, and he should be able to grab about this and say, well, I'm not coming in. You guys got to pay me more money. Anyway, you know, any thoughts on that? Got to talk about
Kirk. Well, I also think it's, you know, he's doing it for his own good as well. I mean, not that these are, you know, the be-all, end-all practices and everything, but especially for a guy like Kirk, who's very process-oriented, and he could just – I feel like it helps him have the best season possible by working with Addison, working with, you know, all the new faces and just getting as much work as he can, because ultimately he's, you know, he's, Kirk has had a bunch of these in his career, as he talked about, you know, going back to high school, you know, no, you know, having to prove it in high school, having to prove it coming out of college, having to prove it several times, betting on himself. So he's betting on himself again. And part of that is being as good as he can be when this season takes place. So either whether he gets paid here or if he has a good, if he, I mean, the best case scenario for the Vikings is you win the Super Bowl and you give Kirk whatever, you know, whatever he needs and worry about it later, you know.
Right.
Because you get what you're looking for. But I think, you know, he ends his, you know, if they have a great season, he ends his career here. If it's a terrible season, he's looking, going somewhere else. So, but if he has a terrible season, it's obviously he's not going to be in high demand. So, yeah, I mean, I what you're asking is, yeah, it's a, I give him credit for that, but I also think it's also helping him. So,
yeah. Speaking of quarterbacks, the young quarterback Jalen Hall was in town for rookie camp, and he's probably out there right now. Did you were at the rookie camp? Did you see him throw the ball around? What are your thoughts on the guy that's going to unseat Kirk at mid?
Oh yeah. Well, and the head coach said this, so it's not me being a bitter old man. So, and Kevin O'Connell is not a bitter. He's a happy young man. So, and he said kind of what. I don't know if other coaches have said this, but it's kind of what I feel sort of jumps out is like the first round draft pick comes in. If he's a Justin Jefferson or an Addison or not all first round draft picks, Laquon Treadwell didn't come in wowing us, but
Trey Williams.
Yeah. So O'Connell says afterwards, you know, basically, hey, Addison looked really good. You know, you can tell that he's a little not, I mean, he said it in a kind way. Very culturally friendly, kind way that he said it in. It's basically this guy, there's a reason he's a number one draft pick and all these other guys aren't, because it, you know, he stood out. You know, he stood out as a very smooth, potentially really good NFL player. The quarterbacks, on the other hand, and it's not unexpected, but I was actually standing next to Judd Zulgin and he was filming, trying to get a completion. I don't know if he puts it on his website or whatever. But he was filming and I said, how's that going for you, Jed? Cause he kept, you know, it was windy too. So here come a duck, you know, and there was two quarterbacks. There was maybe a guy on a tryout basis. Yeah. And then, the draft pick. And, so the ball's coming and it's kind of like off, you know, way over someone's head, short. And, so we didn't see a lot of completions. They did not look good, but you know, it was the first practice. As NFL rookies, they don't even know the names of the guys they're throwing to yet. So they didn't look good. Let's put it that way. So the first observation of the draft pick quarterback was he looks like a third day NFL draft pick. So
does he look short?
I didn't notice him looking short.
But, yeah, because he's not that big of a dude, right?
I mean, quarterbacks now, they come in all packages now.
That's true. That's true. You mentioned Addison. What did you see from him in what you can tell? I mean, obviously, KOC was complimentary, but do you think?
Well, I felt the same thing. I mean, he looked very smooth. He was going up against the third round cornerback. Whatever the third round, I haven't burned him in his name into my mind yet. But, you know, even going against a guy that was, you know, pretty good draft pick, he just looked good. I mean, he looked smooth. He looked confident.
It'd be nice to see him this week when he's going against some of the veterans, maybe.
Well, they held him out of practice yesterday. They didn't say why. So some sort of injury. Nothing to be alarmed about at this point, I would think. But he's not practicing when they have the mandatory – June mini camp, and that's kind of like, yeah, you know, maybe that's a little bit of a concern, but he's standing there, so he's not at some specialist where you're going to find out it's a sports hernia or some damn thing. Mm-hmm. So, these guys are really good at preserving their players. So, right now, give them the benefit of the doubt that it's not anything major.
I thought it was interesting coming out of yesterday, some of the interviews. You know, I did a bunch of group interviews with the players as they came off the field. And first Christian Darrisaw and then Alexander Mattison both were asked and made comments about the defense they're facing this week. Brian Flores is jumped right out of the gate. According to Darrisaw, he said Mattison, I guess he says they were jumping all around, you know, and he says we weren't used to that. And Darrisaw says, telling. He says, yeah, they were throwing this stuff at him. Right, he goes, day stuff that might show up on day 15 was showing up on day 2 from the defense. And he said that last year, we didn't have that kind of defense coming at us, so we weren't really as prepared when we faced some of that stuff on Sunday. And Mattison called it intense, you know, what was going on there. So, for a guy like me that's hoping, okay, keep that offense going, it's going to be good coming back, and then improve this defense, I'm excited to hear stuff like that. I mean, it's early, so go ahead and chastise me for that. But that's coming from someone like Darrisaw, who knows what he's doing out there, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose that there's something to it, like whenever you're talking about training camp or OTAs or mini camp. But when they get into a season, I mean, that's a little alarming for two reasons. One is, granted, the Vikings defense was passive. It was, you know, four-man rush, and that was it. There wasn't a lot there to surprise people. The other part is, you know, when they get in season and you're game planning, you're not running Ed Donatell's defense against the offense. You're running, right. You're running a scout team. So now that I would hope that Donatell and the defensive guys they weren't running their own defense in season. But anymore, so much of this is when you get in season, they hardly ever wear pads in season. They hardly ever wear pads in training camp anymore. So it really is. It's become these guys, it's kind of on them to have their bodies ready, the tempo ready, the speed of the game ready to turn it on like a flip a switch, because they don't see a lot of that speed, live speed. So I think there's a little bit to it, but I also feel like sometimes these interviews, depending on how the questions ask
right,
who was, part of it's their training, you know, that they just how they answer questions and stuff. But they can be led around by the nose, especially in a group setting.
This was a little more animated, though. I mean, they asked Mattison, and he said, "How was it?" He goes, "Intense." You know, he goes, and he says, "I wasn't ready for that." He said, "I wasn't ready to see all these guys jumping around." He said, "I had to get for it to be that intense, where he had to start watching where guys were coming from." And there's somebody described one play where it was a pass play and Kirk just ended up throwing it in the dirt because he knew he's going to get drilled. So I'm excited. Mark.
Yeah. I at the risk of raining on your parade, Joe, go back and listen to what Kirk Cousins was saying in training camp about Ed Donatell's defense. Remember Kirk saying, like, I would turn, you know, because the defense was holding the look it was a couple days story about Kirk and others talking about how, you know, when I get back, I'm used to seeing the defense look a certain way. And I how many times they had to throw it in the dirt or throw it away because they were just confusing the living crap out of Kirk and the offense.
Yeah,
so
I do remember that. Yeah.
So let's,
it could be just first week and they got something new coming at them. Yeah.
You're right. I feel like I'm the driving ed instructor, and I have the brake on my side, Joe.
Oh, so. My. Okay. All right.
But I there's probably some truth to it in that. Let's hope that Flores has the people, has the personnel to do some things that begged Ed Donatell to do, especially at home.
God.
If you can't use US Bank Stadium and that noise level to your advantage, then you shouldn't be a defensive coordinator in the NFL.
I just, it's exciting to think that you might, a Vikings fan might want to watch the defense with interest this year. I mean, last year, so many times, all we're doing was sitting on the edge of our seat, biting our fingernails, hoping for they would hang on, you know, and somehow get a stop. But I mean, if they can be the aggressor, which is what it sounds like is a mark of Flores defense, or and confuse the guys behind on the offense, that's exciting, you know, and
yeah,
Neil Hunter should want to play for, if you ask me.
Right. And you know, Zimmer's defense the last 2 years was not good, but it wasn't because of scheme. It was not, you know, 2019, they were, when they were healthy and they had their three corners and everyone fit under the cap, that was, you know, got them to the playoffs. Whenever Danielle Hunter started missing entire years and Everson Griffin disappeared in midseason because he, you know, had some issues. They were down to two rookie corners, then that defense didn't work. So you got to have the personnel, you got to have the scheme. So Zimmer, I don't think anyone, even the people who don't like him, wouldn't question that he's a pretty good defensive coordinator.
Right.
Flores can have all these great ideas, but they need Daniil. They need Davenport to act like his pedigree, you know, like a first round draft pick. They need these corners to stay healthy. They need the, you know, Asamoah to be a quality linebacker right away. So they've got to, Harrison Smith to have a, you know, dial back the calendar a few years and be that weapon, that multi-talented weapon again.
One more player that spoke yesterday was Vikings superstar tight end T.J. Hockenson. And they were asking him a bit about his impending contract negotiations, which would come up eventually. And he, of course, you know, batted it away like most players. And I believe him. That's not what he's out here focusing on. You got people you've hired to do that. But he did say that he was loving it, getting to know the Twin Cities, and he wants to be here. He definitely wants to be. And he seems like a pretty sincere guy. But, I mean, you sent me the question, do they need to get him – signed long term to make this trade worth it? You know, they gave up a lot for the guy, so you know, I think they do got to get more than one or maybe two seasons out of him. I'd like to see it. He's a heck of a ball player.
I mean, when he came in immediately, you know, 4 days later, 5 days later, he comes in, practices on Wednesday, and he catches nine balls on Sunday, and so he was like immediately what Kirk needed. He's a type of plan B or C or whatever option that a guy like Kirk Cousins, who wants to process, you know, Kirk wants to go through everything, and he needs that tight end who's going to find that spot. And mm-hmm. This guy does it very well. He's not the best tight end in the league because there's two or three guys up there that are, you know, potential Hall of Famers, but he's still young enough that I feel like, you know, and this is a team that's got a lot of things on their to-do list, you know, starting with Daniil and Jefferson, and what are they going to do with Kirk, you know? And so that, you know, their money situation going forward is, you know, it's a lot of it's tricky to figure out how this all works. But I feel like, you know, Hockenson is a big enough part of that offense to where, hey, it can't be done by just everyone, because Irv Smith was a second round pick that we all, hey, you know, this is going to be Irv's breakout year. Irv's got all the tools.
Yeah.
Well, Irv couldn't stay healthy. So it's not just anyone can do what T.J. Hockenson's doing. So I think that they need to find a way in order for that, you know, because right now I'd rather have Hockenson than whatever they could have gotten in the second round. But in saying that, I think, had you taken someone in the second round, you expect him to last a while.
Right.
So I would yes. hope that Hockenson lasts a while here.
You know, and he also talked, someone asked him about, or maybe he just offered up, saying Josh Oliver is a big dude. And there's your blocking tight end, which is kind of good. Top three blocking tight ends in the league. I mean, as much as I'm already showing my giddiness over Brian Flores' defense. I'm excited about this this offense coming back.
Josh Oliver. When I look at Josh Oliver and Madison, I mean, I don't get excited about Madison as a 80-yard touchdown guy, or he's not going to do what I don't think he's going to do what Dalvin did. Have that ability to score from anywhere on the field, but how many times does that happen a year? Just except for Adrian in 2012,
three times a season. Like, man.
Every time you look up, Adrian was running down the field. but to me, it's those third and ones, third and twos, third and inches, third and goal, where you needed a guy that just maybe moved the pile a little more.
And you really couldn't take out your $19 million running back and say, okay, you're not going to get this for us. At some point, that's an insult, right?
Yeah. And then what they also didn't do that was kind of build, we didn't see Dalvin as this receiving threat that I think they were talking about in the preseason as much as, to me, like when they threw a couple screens and he actually gained some yards, you're like, felt yourself thinking, like, when's the last time that, Dalvin had a screen, or something like that. So when you look at Oliver and Madison, like a little more beef, that, hey, this team needs to convert, some third and ones, third and shorts to stay on the field.
Absolutely.
Otherwise you're taking Justin Jefferson and TJ Hockenson and even Kirk, you're taking them off the field and having them sit, for long stretches. That's an extension. It's also an extension of your defense. Whenever you can have an Oliver make a great block and Madison gain a yard and a half on third and one.
Yep.
That's a big play.
It'll be excited just to see the changes to this new offense and just see what, how they, with their new personnel, what they do differently. It almost seems like there's more emphasis going to be on the run with the addition of Oliver and the addition or the signing of Madison. And we'll see, maybe what have you. But we won't see it today. Right now we'll take a break and come on back and we will talk about some of the other things going on in the NFL. So come on back to Vikings Territory Breakdown. All right, folks, welcome back to Vikings Territory Breakdown. Mark Craig from the Star Tribune. Mark, the NFL didn't have a schedule. I mean, didn't have a draft, didn't have a schedule release. My God, what are they going to do to keep our attention, to keep tackling our attention? They always come up
with OTAs. OTAs, Joe.
But they also started changing some rules. And they made this big announcement since we last were here about the Thursday Night Football flex. Which I think, the way I understand it is games can switch from Thursday to Sunday and vice versa, which I think is really messed up for those people traveling to the games. But does this really, if you're going to take games that are good and that you want to highlight on Sunday, does that mean that Thursday night games are just the crap that it is?
The opposite. I think they want to move better games to Thursday.
Really?
Because they already have, they'll have other good games for Sunday, Monday. They want to take the good games and move them.
Yeah, but isn't that a mistake? I mean,
because they want people to watch Thursday.
It's not a mistake for revenue, but it's a mistake for the quality of the games. Those games on Thursdays can be just trash because these guys
they're trying to move the better games to Thursday night.
Better games, but they're going to ruin those better games.
Oh, well, yeah, that's a good. Hey, you're thinking like someone. You have player safety in mind, Joe. The NFL says they do, but the concept of Thursday night games goes against this. Player safety is number one. You can't say player safety is number one and have Thursday night games. But you can't go without Thursday night games because that leaves Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, at least 5 days, Joe, without the NFL. Can you make it 5 days without the
I'm not sure I can. However,
so most people can't. So and you might discover like you know, bowling or something by then. Yeah, so they're worried about that. So they want to keep you. So, but it's from weeks 13 to 17. There is no Thursday night game on week 18. So, and then it was talked about at the owners meeting back a couple months ago. They said no, or they tabled it or whatever, because they only wanted to give 15 days notice. And I think this one says 28 days. So basically a month. Teams get a month notice to change their that it'll be a Thursday night game. So that doesn't really help the guy that's saved his money to fly to San Francisco to see a Thursday night game or wherever, Seattle, I don't
know. Or make a weekend out of it, you know?
Yeah, but I think I saw a quote from someone, maybe it was Jerry Jones, that only there's like only 7% of their fans have actually been in a stadium.
That amazes me. That's true. Yeah,
so, I guess you can give a middle finger to those people because they're not really the ones that are paying. I mean, you may think that your $100 ticket is paying salaries, but it's really the billion-dollar TV money that's paying everybody's money. That's
true. But isn't that putting a premium on television viewers over those in-stadium viewers?
Yes. Oh, 100% for sure.
And it's all
I think they're willing to even say that. Eventually the NFL might. I always said the NFL will. They won't even play in stadiums because they'll just do it in a TV studio somewhere in Los Angeles, and it'll be like a TV show. But I don't know. I hadn't really thought about it as much as you did, as far as like them devaluing that game because if players won't be as ready, or there'll be players that won't be able to play. So yeah, that's a good point. But that's like anyway, Leslie. Good point, Joe.
Thank you. We won't.
That's one.
Yeah. Oh, nice guy. NFL doesn't give a rat's patootie about any of my good points, so what the hell. You know, they're also announced that Peacock streaming service from NBC is going to stream only wildcard games on Saturday night or something like that. And obviously it's a bigger deal from ad revenue. Things are changing, obviously, with streaming, but doesn't that put some people – now, don't you have to go buy – the service just to watch those two wildcard games that Peacock is going to get?
Well, the two teams that are in the two markets that are in the game, I will be able to watch it without getting the streaming service.
They will. But, okay.
But everyone else has to go and pay their, you know, with a lot of these things, it's like when my kids would bring home magazine subscriptions, you'd be like, oh, $4. But that may be something that you're paying for the rest of your life because you can't find out how to cancel it, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think streaming services, at least the ones I have, are easier to cancel. So, you know, to me, that's basically, unless you get hooked on something on Peacock or whatever, you know, you get it, you know, you pay your $4.99 a month or whatever it is and then cancel it after that. I just see that as that's the wave of the future. That's just how it's going to be. There was an NBA game that was on a Cavs game that I wanted to watch, and I was flipping through, and then I Googled it, and they were on the NBA TV or whatever, where you had to pay for it. And I just said, screw it. It wasn't a big enough game.
The past 2 years, I have, as soon as the Viking season ended, I went and subscribed to. Last year it was DirecTV. This year it's Bally Sports, just to get the Wolves in the Wild. And I, you know, paid for them until they both got knocked out of the playoffs. And I see, you know, that worked well. This year it was much better because it was, you know, it was only $21 a month, where last year for DirecTV it was $92 a month. So I was happy about that. And then I just got rid of them until next year. But, I thought Bally's was looking to restructure, or, you know, might be in bankruptcy. I don't know if that's true. I thought somebody said that.
Well,
and I can see why, but
I think both sides should figure this out, because, you know, I have Hulu and I haven't seen a Twins game or a Wolves game or a Wild game. unless they make the playoffs, and then you watch it. But, you know, frankly, you know, from the team standpoint, I'm kind of a fence sitter. I'm not going to watch you. So you lost me. You lost my interest. And Hulu is losing people who go to Apple TV or whatever it takes to get those games. So the two sides are losing, I think. So, you know. I don't know. But we've come a long way from, I remember, what was it, 82 or 83 NBA championship was on tape delay. It was like came on after the news or something. I don't know what, because I remember it was like the Sixers and the Lakers. Might have been Magic's first year or whatever. But I can remember that, you know, the NBA finals weren't on live.
Miracle on Ice was on tape delay and it was cut up. They took sections out of it where nothing happened. I mean, the game against the Russians, can you believe? We had waited all day for this to come on, and we walked through the bar over to our buddy's house. I was in college at the time, just to sit down to watch the game. And as we're walking there, he goes, "The USA won!"
Dude. And just think that entire stadium was watching the game because they weren't on their phone. The world looked up. We looked up at the world, Joe.
Whole new world. Another rule change is the kickoff rule changes that last year, you know, rather than just booting the ball out of the end zone, teams were doing kind of a pooch high kick where it would come down in the field of play and you'd try to tackle them before they got to the 25 to keep them from getting those whole 25 yards on a touchback. But it apparently ran in, you know, there's that football or player safety issue. So the NFL decided, the owners changed it by a large margin in the vote, to be able to fair catch or take a knee after you catch it in play. And I think, can you move it up to the 25 then?
Yeah.
If you do that?
Yeah.
Well, that's, you know, kind of like the college rules. So that's kind of interesting. I guess I understand it. They say that kickoff is one of the most dangerous plays in the game for concussion. So I understand it, but I think you were saying that they're gonna get rid of kickoffs.
Well, you know, they thought they got rid of it with the last rule,
right?
But what happened? And one team that was exceptional at doing this was the Vikings, and Matt Daniels would kick it to the, and Joseph. So you'd have Joseph drop it on the one, and then you had, you know, outstanding special teams guys like Brian Asamoah. I mean, I do these five extra points on games. I think twice was tackles by Brian Asamoah on special teams where he came out of nowhere and just about decapitated one of the, with a legal hit, you know, hitting the chest and everything, tackles a guy at the 5 yard line on a kickoff. And, you know, just how, I mean, I wish I had more room to write about it, because it was like, just how much they work on where to drop it and who, you know, cause Asamoah was like, you know, it's up to, you know, Ham or these other guys that take out this block or that blocker, and he has to shoot through the middle. So it's all choreographed. So they got around that rule by pooching it and tackling guys inside the 10. The Vikings were extraordinary at that, especially early last year. Well, what this does is it takes that out, because the guy will just catch it at the one and fair catch it. And then so this effectively kills, I would imagine there's no way around it now. Unless a guy catches, if you have a, like maybe Iwangu, he's got 3 touchdowns in 2 years. Maybe they give him the green light to catch it at the one and take off. But how many people are you going to do that with? They thought that, you know, guys wouldn't return it from 9 yards deep.
Yeah.
And they started doing that. And then now they're, you know, or then teams started kicking to the one or the two or whatever. So, you know, there'll be a time probably, maybe not in our lifetime, but it'll be, there'll be some old timer who's now like 25 will say, "What time's kickoff?" And they're going to go, "What's a kickoff?" And there'll be stories written about kickoff. This term originates when the NFL used to kick a ball and the other team would, you know, and they're like, "What?" It didn't start at the 20. What are they going to call it? They're going to say, "What time's whistle? What time's the whistle?" or something. Cause yeah, this just kills it to me. You know, they say the numbers and everything, but I just have, it's more illusion. It's more the illusion of caring than it is actually. I don't have any study on that, but I just feel like, you know, it's one of, well, you know, we're taking care of the kickoffs. Meanwhile, hey, in 28 days, you got to play a Thursday nighter that you didn't know about.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I don't buy it. It's an exciting play. I like the kickoff, and I'm not the target audience anymore.
Yeah, I agree with you. There was one other announcement that came out this weekend that the Packers are going to Green Bay is going to host the 2025 NFL draft. And as I tweeted, that would probably be the first year that the NFL draft was held in the town where the team had the first overall pick. Oh, some shade, whether it comes from or from of their own making. That's what I hope anyway.
Is it they get next year's or?
I don't know. I don't know what they get.
I think it's 2025. So
yeah. Oh yeah. Well, it is.
So that'll be Love's second year. Didn't you say that? Didn't Rodgers win his Super Bowl like second, third year?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. After soon as 1 year gone, Favre went to the Jets and he didn't do it that year. And then the Vikings came and went, and then it would have been his third year as the starter.
Well, as long as they keep it out of here, you know, I don't know. I have a feeling that it's going to be when it's here, then it's going to have to be a lot of stories about things that just maybe I'll be the one that goes and stands in the middle, because I've always wanted to know when they show that aerial, the guy that's in the middle and the bathrooms are on the edges. Like what do they do? You're only there to drink beer, and because you're not there just to have them watch and read names. So you're there to drink beer. And you're there to boo and heckle Goodell. So where do you go to the bathroom? Do they have a flask that they catheter, or what do you do?
Packer fans have covered that issue for many years.
I'll social distance when I do those interviews, because I don't want to be within 6 feet of someone I'm asking where they're going to the bathroom. So with that, I think we're done.
One more point. I don't know how to segue to this, but Vikings said so long to Bud Grant this week at US Bank Stadium. They had a big celebration of his life there and had a number of dignitaries. And, you know, I'm sure there was plenty of good stuff that was said about him. The guy was as many stories as he could tell. There were stories to tell about him. So did you take away anything from that event?
Well, yeah, I mean, I didn't go to it, but you know, Mike Grant's his son steals the show in a lot of ways. I mean, Bud Grant had a sense of humor that I don't think a lot of people, you know, knew about, or maybe they did, but you know, what's the shame of it is a lot of these stories are just going to get lost through time, because there are no, you know, there's no one that really plays today that you're going to have. I don't think you're going to have like old time stories where you're like, wow, that's really cool, or.
Yeah.
But when Joe Capp passed away, and I was talking to Patrick Royce about what he was going to write, what I was going to write. And Patrick's like, yeah, I miss Bud. Bud would have been great on Joe Capp. You know, so you lose that, that ability to call a 95-year-old, like walking, talking encyclopedia of football and have him share things. And, you know, Mike Grant was telling some stories about that. And one was, Bud's understated nature. Bud would have looked at this thing and said, you know, he would have seen the sun coming through the plexiglass and said, what are you doing here? Why aren't you at the cabin? You know, so, you know, Bud will be missed, just like all these other guys that we've lost, you know, Freddie Zamber, these guys that could tell stories and you could talk to and just
spend a lot of them.
Yeah. Just get a feeling for what it was like back, you know, where these guys stand now, where Justin Jefferson, where he's getting ready to make probably the most money, certainly by a receiver in NFL history. And to think, you know, he stands on their shoulders, and most of the guys, you know, the great ones today appreciate that. But there's a lot of guys playing this game that probably don't appreciate it and don't even know
the
history of the league.
Yeah. Well, that'll be interesting. If Justin Jefferson is the highest paid receiver, getting a pass from formerly the highest paid quarterback, they better complete some of those. Do you think some of those passes?
Yeah. Well, yeah, again, give him a chance, because the Buffalo game shows, he's got a pretty big catch radius. So give him more opportunities.
That's right. Well, you all have the opportunity to come back next week. Thanks for showing up here and checking us out. We'll be back next week to talk about more of this. Thanks to Mark Craig. Thanks to Mike Walden behind the scenes. And our old buddy Joe Johnson up in heaven, who's looking down on us and making sure we do this well. Thanks to y'all. So, folks, thanks. We'll see you next time on the Vikings Territory Breakdown Podcast. Until then, skull.
Skull.